So let's just throw it open now if anyone has any questions at all in awakening, anything that's going on or going wrong or they want to share, then feel free to raise your hand. Gaina, yay. Hello, you're muted there. Yay, there you are.
Hello, can you hear me all right?
I can. Lovely to see you.
You too. So yeah, it's been a while since I've been able to get online, but it's lovely to be here. And I guess I had a question because I've had a little bit like of an urge lately to kind of really kind of go deeper and I've seen what I am and why am I not living as that? And so I was questioning like the body and death, because I think that's a few things have like come up lately on that subject for me. Like when
Life has a way of reminding you, doesn't it, every now and again?
and then because I've been doing quite a lot of self-inquiry as well, so I've really kind of been really interested in that lately, and it kind of felt a real pull towards it. And I think that's what kind of led me down that kind of, the body dying and how would what happens, and I kind of realized that there is still an attachment there. Like this going deeper has made me realize attachment still to me, and losing that and losing the body and fear there. And it'd be kind of good to get your advice really to how to work around that. Because I know that, when I sit and self-inquire, I can recognize my true self and that I don't end. And but then when it comes to giving up this, giving it up, like feeling like you've got to give it up, there's a bit of fear there, if you see what I mean. So it was just kind of what questions or what tools can I use to kind of help with that?
So, can you see that even when we're seeing clearer that we're not the body, that we are formless, something underneath is still kind of holding on to, but I need this body because, or I'm dependent on it because, or my experience will be severely diminished when it's gone. Something bad is going to happen when it's gone, right? That's the life will not be the same as it is now, says my,
Yeah, I can see that.
and even the death process itself might be really painful or something, mine says, and I don't want to suffer through that. If I could just kind of, I can't actually click my fingers, otherwise I'd do it. Just pretend I did, right? And and then suddenly, the body's gone. That wouldn't be so bad. But so for me, I just looked at what are the actual things. For me, it became clear that I really still felt that I, even though I am formless, I need the body, I rely upon it, I depend upon it, or something like that, where the identification was clinging on. And it was what do I feel is going to be different when the body's gone? I really looked at that. We can look at that now if you want. What do you feel would be different when the body's gone? There'd be no sense perception, there'd be no thoughts, no emotions, would they? Anything that comes with the body and mind will be gone. So when the body's gone, whatever we depend upon will stop happening. So here is this idea then, this kind of raw idea underneath for me was exposed, that when there's no when there's no sense perception, when there's no thoughts, when there's no emotion, I will be very much diminished, very much, and like it will be much worse than I'm experiencing right now. Can you see that idea underneath?
Definitely, because even talking about it now, I can see that there is, I can see that I'm going to lose something, and even like lose experience in other things, because I've been questioning today, like, oh, I'm still seeing that as like a cup of coffee or whatever I was thinking, like, and like, oh, I'll lose that, like, you know, just simple things like that, I guess. I know it's not death, but it's all kind of.
Well, it really is. It's kind of a death we're talking about, isn't it? I won't be able to see the world through this body mind ever again when it's gone. Mm-hmm. And that seems horrible, doesn't it, from where we're looking from the mind's perspective and all of that. So, and for me, the other side of this idea that when the body's gone, I'll be much, much worse off. I'll be much, much, I'll be very diminished. I really can't talk tonight. Was the other side of the coin that said, when this body came, it really drastically improved my situation when the body came. You know, the other side of that coin is something was given to me. Life is better with a body than without. That's the core idea, isn't it, underneath all of this?
Yeah, like, I guess is that because the not knowing what was before, this body doesn't know.
Yeah, and neither does the mind.
Yeah.
But if that, what if that's not true? And we're not negating the body or duality or any of that. We lovingly embrace it while it's here and enjoy everything it's got to give us. But what if that core idea is not true, that life without a body is meaningless and pointless and terrible, and that life with a body is perfect and wonderful and amazing? And I'm obviously exaggerating there, but you can get the sense of what I'm saying. I really looked at this took it into my questioning, and is that really true? Has anything actually happened to me since the body came? Have I changed? Has my experience been upgraded actually with the body? Is the body an upgrade to the self? You know, and I'm kind of playing with words here, but and is it suddenly going to be like giving away my lovely iPhone and getting a big old brick or something, you know, when the body goes, you know, one of those big old things you had to put the antenna up and, you know, and it didn't do anything other than call people. Or getting out of this limousine and having to walk, you know, so some kind of real sense of diminishment. What if none of that is actually true? And what if I'm actually just as I was right now, even while the body's still here? What if I'm the same, even while the body's here, as before it was here? Then nothing will change for me when it goes. Nothing.
Right.
Because... Okay. The body could be viewed as a pair of binoculars to kind of zoom in and look in duality. And
right.
You're there, standing there, and you're just as you are, and then you pick up these binoculars and look through them for a while, and then you put them down again. Are you any different at any point during, before, and after you use them?
I guess because the body thinks, well, would you be then? I think it's thinking as a body and thinking, but then you'll be experiencing from all these different people, and what will that be like? And can't comprehend that.
What if that's going on right now? Anyway, what if you're simultaneously experiencing yourself as all of this, not in this particular body mind, because you can only have this one experience of being this body and mind in this body and mind.
Yeah.
But what if you? The change that we kind of fear happening is already going on and we haven't noticed.
Right.
And then the whole idea that we're getting to here underneath is this sense that something is going to be different, something's going to change for me. When the body came, something began, or I changed, or something. And then I'm going to have to change back, or some sense like that. Something's happened to me.
Yeah. But right, okay. So I need to kind of look at whether anything's really happened to me.
So you the diffuse space in the room, the space in the room that you're sitting in is the space. And then someone moves a chair into the center of the room. What's happened to the space?
Yeah.
You take the chair away. What's happened to the space? And all of this is about the chair in the middle of the room. And none of it's from the perspective of the space in the room. What's happened to the space of your being when a body condenses around it?
And I guess then I think the body thinks, well, but it's so quiet and peaceful, but so quiet as well. There's no experiencing.
Is that such a bad thing without experience? And
that's what I mean.
There's the crux of it. There's the crux.
I think I'm attached. I think I'm still attached to it.
Yeah. Are you, and here's a really radical question, are you experiencing right now? Is there a you experiencing something else right now, even now? So can you lose? Because that's really what we're all afraid of with death, isn't it? If we get right down to it, I'll stop experiencing. But are you experiencing even now? What is it to experience something? Isn't it as a separate being? Me here experiencing, even me here experiencing this body.
Yeah.
If there isn't any separation between the body and me, even that experience is not really what's happening. And none of this is hard to come to realize experientially, to know it like I do. It's just to see that this big idea has really been invested in, that something happened to me when the body was born. Something changed for me when the body arrived.
Yeah. I think there's just more questioning to do. And
even just right now, the contextual feel that you are, the silence, the awareness, is it affected at all when the body arrives? Does the awareness change?
No.
Even if the mind really thinks the awareness has changed, has it changed?
No.
Even if the mind says the awareness came into a body and took form, has it really done that?
No. And when I think on a logic, you know, on a level of knowing, well, I know that, but then why aren't I living as that?
Yeah, so why are you so sure you're not living as that?
Yeah. Well, I'm not. Well,
what's the evidence for that assumption?
You are, sorry, that I am the body mind.
why are you so sure that you're still identified with the body and mind?
Well, this is what I've...
There's you, the awareness, and then there's the thought process that goes on. And some of those thoughts will be about being a body and mind. Some of those thoughts will be about being the awareness.
Mm.
Is the awareness identified? What's the awareness believing and having to unbelieve?
Nothing.
Nothing. Is the awareness any different at all? If you never have the thought, I am the infinite self, is it actually any different, the awareness?
No. I guess that's...
Mine goes, well, what's the point of all this satsang then, right? What is the point of all of this questioning? It's to come to realize this, that there's something that has never been caught, bound, and never has to be liberated. It's the real self. Thought thinks it's on a process of de-identifying, and probably that's occurring, more and more higher frequency thoughts about being the self. But does that have to be a process you're involved in? Are you even involved in it? Aren't you just watching mind have different thoughts?
I guess I'm just wanting in that. I guess, yeah. I guess there's a thought that something would change. Like, I suppose it is changing, but do you know what I mean? Like, there was a thought that I would have suddenly become this, but that's not I'm all, I don't need to become anything because
that can't happen, can it? Yeah, it can't.
Yeah.
Because you have always been this,
no matter what.
So. And what thought thinks about what's going on is utterly irrelevant in the end. The body feels nicer if we have thoughts that are more aligned with the truth. It feels more relaxed and peaceful. But ultimately, what thought thinks is going on? So it's thought that's got caught up in identification. I am this body is a thought, isn't it? And then I am not this body. And then I am everything.
Yeah.
Or I am nothing. These are all thoughts. Some of them feel nicer than others. Meanwhile, you're just kind of watching the whole,
yeah,
whole show.
I think I was wanting thoughts to, I'm not at that place, well, the body mind's not that there yet, where the thoughts stop.
Because you're waiting for something to happen.
Right.
You're waiting for a revolution in thought before you know you are the self. But when you know you're not affected by any of that,
right, yeah,
the thoughts will stop on their own because you're not sort of inwardly demanding anything of the mind. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me now whether my thoughts are as a separate being or as the self. And I've realized it never has. Because I've realized that, they tend to be, what thoughts do come now are few and far between, and they tend to be about being the infinite self or something, you know.
Yeah.
But it was only from kind of stepping back. Well, I'm not even the one that's coming out of identification here. That's nothing to do with me. That's the last part of the dream.
I can see that. And I can see, I think I'm applying that to other things as well, about the way this body is, you know what I mean? Like, I always feel like very frantic sometimes. And I was like, you know, just like, really busy.
It's nothing to do with having a small child or anything, you know, and holding down a full-time job at the same time, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe, but even just like, yeah. Okay.
Find out what's actually happening to you in this whole thing, this whole liberation thing, identification thing. Has any of that touched you? This birth, life, and death thing, has any of that touched you?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it really won't matter what's going on in mind. And ironically, their mind just kind of slows down and lets go.
Yeah. Okay. I can definitely see that in some areas. It's just some things it's, yeah, that I'm using to judge that I'm not there yet. But yeah.
There is actually, and I'm going to say this just for a point of pushing our belief to a place of what's possible, where you might not even notice when the body finally falls off. Mine's going, no way. Of course I'll notice, but what if that's possible? What if that's not from a I don't care about the body, but just so deeply seated in nothing has ever happened to me.
Yeah. That sounds lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, you get on with it.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Thank you. Lovely to speak to you. Lovely to be here.
Good to see you. Wow, deep conversations tonight. You're all making me do some work. Huh? Wonderful. DSC, when you're ready.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Is my sound kind of low or?
Perfect.
Yeah, okay. Because I just realized that I tend to kind of yell here because I have my headphones and you have a different.
I can't hear you.
You have a different perception. Sorry. Every it's time okay. I think I have yelled.
That's fine.
What I wanted to talk about is when we spoke in the past about feelings of being unworthy. I think it was along those lines, you know, situations where, you know, I felt less than enough, etc. You told me it's a habit, isn't it? And I quite didn't understand exactly, you know, but recently, you said it again. And I'm like, and all of a sudden I thought, okay, when somebody, I think I could see the habit.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody, let's say somebody's talking, doing satsang and talking about feeling unworthy, I'm following and I am identifying with this person. I'm like, yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah, I don't like talking in front of people, etc., etc. And then I stopped and I thought, here I am. I think this is the habit. I am immediately identifying myself with this person who's talking. You know, every time somebody talks about unworthiness, I am agreeing.
Yes.
Right? So I thought, oh, I think this is the habit.
At first, we really do believe that we're not good enough, and we'll do some contemplation on that, and then we'll do some self-inquiry, seeing that we are the formlessness. And to a certain extent, we come out of it. We see that there's, you know, I really have never been unworthy. I am the infinite self already, never been that separate being that feels unworthy. And we see that, and we see that, and we see that. But how that unworthiness is sustained is sheer habit. I say something happens and I criticize myself, and it doesn't occur to me to contradict that criticism. You know, it just is left to stand, isn't it? Or somebody else criticizes me externally and I kind of inwardly agree, just out of sheer force of habit, because this is how it's always been, this momentum of this habit.
Yeah,
I slide back into that without even realizing.
Exactly. I have been noticing that all my behaviors, they are all conditioned. It's like boom, boom, boom. Everything happens in a daze.
Yeah. And then you stop and you go, well, wait a minute.
When you said that, it's a habit, right? And I'm like, is it really true that I feel so unworthy? I might sometimes, but it's not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
yeah.
Sometimes I really kind of like myself. So
I like you too.
Thank you. Yeah. Maggie, do you like me?
she's not there. Yes.
Yeah. She's not there. Anyways. I decided to be vigilant.
Ooh.
About my actions, because I'm finding out that just about, I think everything is a habit.
Yeah,
I am not really there.
I'm
just moving through my conditionings.
Yeah. And it's just as simple as that in the end. Am I really kind of just on autopilot here?
Yeah.
Or not? And at any moment I can check in and go, I just don't want to. I can just take a deep breath and realize it's just an old habit to criticize and judge myself and to diminish myself in some way. And I'm choosing differently in this moment. And then that becomes the habit as it's fostered, and just stopping. And I don't want to, as long as I keep doing that to myself, it's going to keep seeming real. And then it self-perpetuates, doesn't it? And through causality, I keep having the experience of being unworthy if I keep agreeing with that. And I can go through whole days, weeks, months, years, lifetimes on autopilot. And in the end, it really comes down to that simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
Am I running on habit here?
Yeah. So it is being vigilant.
Yeah, once you've really seen, I can't find anyone that's unworthy, and I can't find anything wrong with me. Once you've really seen that enough times, you don't need to keep doing that. It's just, okay, where am I still functioning from that place in my life? And when I ask myself that question, it was everywhere, only everywhere. only everyone I interact with and everything I ever do is coming from this unworthiness. But just little by little, it was like, okay, when I talk to this person or when I do this thing, I'm just not going to criticize myself. And I kept adding on bits to that. And it just took over my whole life then. And that habit, that just became the habit then. It replaced the old habit to criticize myself, to just choose differently.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good to see the habit. Yeah. You know, because it's like, oh, it's a habit. Yeah, yeah. But when you catch yourself in that, in the habit, it's like, wow, okay.
Yeah. Like somebody, so somebody has this beautiful revelation on satsang and we're listening to that and immediately that hasn't happened to me. What am I doing wrong? Where am I going wrong? And, you know, what have I not understood? And, you know, why can't I get this? And this whole commentary inside, this self diminishment going on. What if we just notice that, if we're awake enough to notice that and go, I don't want to do that to myself right now, and then I'm much more likely to be able to have that same revelation that that person's having. Mm-hmm. But it's just automatic, isn't it? It's just before I even realize it's happened. So I did a, going back to the Christ thing, I did a deal with Christ. I said, you know, not a deal, but I just, please help me see these moments. Please just stop me in the, because I was really having a love affair going on with Christ at that point. I still am, but anyway. Somebody just stopped me when I'm really about to go into this. And there was this moment, this kind of window, this small moment where I was starting to criticize myself in thoughts, and something just said stop. There was just a little gap where I could make a choice then not to, which is just the power of the self, the noumenon. It doesn't have to be Christ, but you get the idea. Mm-hmm. When I really want to come out of the habit, I will have the power to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see that I've been functioning as you know from this habit, as you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I will pray for that. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. It was so good.
Small moments like when I get in the car before I switch the engine on, where am I coming from? When I go and I open the door to get away in my house, where am I coming from? When I get into bed at night, what's my last thought going to be before I go to sleep? You know, little moments like that where I check in and reset, you know, just to reset.
Yeah.
Or a reboot, whichever.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Helen. Wonderful. It's exciting.
Yeah, wonderful. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so we'll take Kristen and then we'll time's moving on, so we'll leave it there after Kristen. Hi.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
I have a question. I think it's a question. There was this, she's a country music singer, Naomi Judd. I don't know if you know who she is.
Yeah, well, I've heard a while ago, but anyway, that's a whole other story.
I did like her music, and I like the story that she had with her daughter and how they came to be musicians. But recently she died. And it's been maybe a week and a half or something like that. And when they announced it, it said something that sort of alluded to the fact that she committed suicide. She had a long history of depression. And I found myself constantly crying about it. And it seemed out of proportion for me. So then this morning I heard that, you know, her daughter had found her and that she had used, I think she called it like a weapon. So as she was gunshot, that she killed herself. And immediately I had this memory of being a teenager and my father talking about wanting to kill himself. He wanted to hang himself in the attic, which is a heavy memory to have come up.
No wonder you didn't want to remember that, right?
Yeah. And then while I was listening to your talk about the body and leaving the body at death, I had just recently experienced my brother-in-law dying of COVID in the ICU, which the treatment for that is just, was just awful. And I did go into his room before they pulled the plug. And it just didn't feel like anybody was there.
Yeah.
But I think my question is, you know, when it comes to something, you know, like a lot of people had the treatment for COVID and they, you know, survived it, but then other people didn't survive it. And I'm sure part of it was, you know, his age and probably
the condition of the body.
Body and that kind of thing. Yeah. But do we have, like, suicide just seems like somebody's veil of who they know themselves to be is so heavy with the maybe conditioning, maybe experience. I don't know. But what is there, like some kind of a choice, or is it everything, you know, way beyond how we know when we're going to die kind of thing? I'm not sure if that's a clear question.
Are you talking about, just for clarification, are we deciding that somebody takes their life? Are we deciding to do they decide to do that, or is it inevitable? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Is there, like we talk about the doer, is there a doer in that?
So you could say that that's the destiny of that body mind vehicle, that the energies, the patterns, the unworthiness, the apathy, it becomes so condensed, so heavy, that it's only going to eventually lead to one outcome, that isn't it? The death of the body, whether that seems to be somebody taking their own life or whether death occurs through some kind of neglect by apathy, so not eating properly, having some kind of addiction, or some kind of illness that comes because the body hasn't, the will to live isn't there. So it might not be an outright act like a gunshot or something, but it's the same kind of thing, leaving the body by apathy, a much slower way, but the same kind of thing going on. In that process, there may be some kind of decision where it seems to happen quicker. A thought that comes that we perhaps all entertain those thoughts at some point, that I can't do this anymore, or whatever the thoughts are that lead to that moment. So both really, it's the kind of destiny of that body mind. It doesn't mean that destiny can't be changed. But it can also simultaneously appear as a decision. So if we put this in another context for sake of explanation, you decide that you want to wake up to the truth. Something within you has been moving towards that your entire life. And also there's a kind of a decision blooming inside. I really can't not be awake now. I have to wake up. So there seems to be a doer that's deciding that, but really that's where the body mind is going anyway. As the energies get heavier and slower and lower, it's harder for that individual being, unless they were to encounter a very awake, enlightened being that could sink, you know, sort of infuse them with higher energy. It's very unlikely for in that situation that person would be able to lift themselves out of it. And that's why sometimes it ends that way and sometimes it doesn't. It depends really on destiny is really just kind of the path of that body mind vehicle if it's left on its present course, if you see what I mean. If you point something in that direction and let it go, it's going to keep going until the momentum runs out. But if you nudge it this way, it's going to, you know, so that's, I don't know if that kind of answers.
Yeah, just when you're talking, it just makes me feel so much compassion.
And sometimes the only way for that individual to lift the energies is to leave the body. Sometimes that's the only way. It's gone. The apathy has reached a certain point where there can't really be any urge to nourish their own self, to look after themselves in that way. So either way, the individual gets some healing, whether it comes with them staying in their body or not, is depends on how far that has gone. So it's not ever a pleasant thing to talk about, but I'm glad you brought it up, because most people don't want to, you know. It's a challenging subject, isn't it? But
yeah,
it's not always the negative thing that people have. I mean, yes, it is for those that are left behind. They didn't mm-hmm. expect that, of course. But from that individual's perspective, quite often there's a release and an unburdening that couldn't have occurred while they're yeah. in the body.
Mm.
Right. Or while they were looking through that body, at least.
That helps.
It does, it's helpful to know, because sometimes there just seems to be no reason to it otherwise. No justice yeah. in it, no way for those that are left behind to cope with it or understand it. Mm-hmm. You know. So for me, that, and as you said, you went in the hospital room, and there was nobody there. The body was dying, but there was nobody in it already. That's why the body was dying.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. It's not I'm forced to evacuate this body because it's dying. It's always the other way around. The individual has gone first. And then that's why the body dies, because there's no life force being infused into it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So it helps them to recognize that with a suicide as well, that the decision is probably, the individual has made that decision a long time ago on some level. And it filters down to conscious thought in that.
Thank you, Helen.
Quite healing when you kind of see it from that perspective, isn't it? Because it's a very challenging subject for, well, death anyway, but especially suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful to talk to you, and hopefully we got there discussing whatever
it was. We did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Too.
Phew. Okay. Wow. Powerful discussions today, and lovely. Okay. So thank you all for your intelligent questions and participation and your presence, and we've touched upon this subject, well, many subjects in this session today. We have these extra classes that are coming up on different subjects. So if you do have something you would like me to go into in a session like this, we kind of booked up with extra classes to August, but we can put some in. These classes are really just for discussing things that we don't get time to really look at in depth in the graduate program. We study one of the four lessons each month in more depth, as you probably know. Sometimes we can need some more information on certain subjects just to help the awakening progress smoothly. So thank you all. Wonderful. Thank you. Namaste.